Bonjour la classe. Écoutez et répétez. Le podcast What's French for 23?
Thank you. episode 23. It's Sunday the 10th of August, and it's about 25 past 8 in the afternoon, in the evening, sorry. And as you can see, we're out in the garden again. It is a bit windy. It's also a lot chillier than it has been for the last few days. The sun is hiding behind a cluster of clouds at the moment, and it's probably unlikely we'll see it again before nighttime sets in. Anyway, yes, good evening. That song was from Canadian singer-songwriter Daniel Gartus, and was called Out of Sight. Gonna be... oh, flipping egg. This is terrible. See if that makes a difference. Gonna be doing a lot of small subjects this week. Hopefully it'll prompt more people to contribute and respond to the subjects that I raised. Took me just over an hour and a half to prep this show today. Started prepping it about 3 o'clock, and I said to Caroline, "Blimey, I don't know how that sounds at your end, but it's horrible from here." How does that go? Oh, that's not too bad. I said to Caroline that, you know, I'll go and record my show, prep and record my show now. It shouldn't be too long. But Hobbs 4 came along, which is the kids' dinner time, essentially. And I said, "Oh, I haven't recorded the show yet. Shall I wait until afterwards?" And she said, "Yeah, that's probably not a bad idea." So, anyway, yes, we're out in the garden again, as I said. And just looking around the garden, I've realised two things. The first one is that our barbecue looks very much like the spaceship from the film The Flight of the Navigator. kind of a... Dude, I'm going to have to go indoors at this rate. This is terrible. And the second thing is, I've left the patio door open slightly, so it's going to be letting some of the heat out. But we spent about half an hour in the front garden. Front garden earlier on this evening. And went back into the house, and it was actually boiling hot. So letting the heat out probably isn't such a bad thing after all. The wife might be joining us later on this evening. She's currently inside, trying to settle. Oh, we'll try that. trying to settle Cara, who's quite active at the moment, having a little bit of a trouble considering going to sleep. Okay, first thing I want to talk about this evening is my jaunt into further education. I've enrolled with the Open University. I enrolled with them couple of years ago, did one course with them, but it coincided rather badly with the birth of Cara, and because we were suffering from sleepless nights and all the rest of it, I missed out on I just fell behind and didn't enter my final course assessment in on time, which is an absolute shame because all the other stuff I'd done gave me really good scores, to the point where I'm almost certain I would have passed it, but unfortunately I came back as a fail because I didn't submit the last assessment. Hang on a second, this is really, really bad. I've got to do something about this. Is it something to do with the way I'm facing? Because the wind, it's not actually that windy. It's just a breeze. But it's consistent. Ah. Okay, I'll face that way then. I've got a... a new course set up. It's called Data Computing and Information. For those of you that are on in the Open University, it's code number M150, and I start that in September, which I'm really looking forward to. And then, as well as computing, my other favourite subject, both at school and college, was maths. So I'm going to be taking MST 121, which is using mathematics, and that starts in January. I'm going to retake the course I failed, which was TU175, Network Living, which is all about communications, the internet, and such like that. Pretty much most of the things I'm already relatively good at, which is probably why I managed to sail through the first course, and then failed it. I'm going to retake that one, and then after that, I'm going to be taking the next mathematics one up from the one I'm starting in January. And once I've got those four, it's coming from behind me now. Once I've got those four courses out of the way, then I'll earn myself two certificates. One's a certificate in computing. Stop it. And the other one is a certificate in mathematics. I hope you can hear this. Um, Then I'll have 120 points to put towards my honours degree, which I need 360 points for. So I'll be a third of the way there within the space of, I don't know, 2 years. So, honours degree in 6 years, it ain't bad. Next thing I wanted to mention was the start of the football season. Now, okay, yeah, a lot of you just rolled your eyes, and I do apologise for that. But I think I mentioned in a few shows ago my affiliation with... This is just useless. I'm going to keep recording. Right, no wind whatsoever. Right, put the lights on. Yeah, I'm inside now, it's too windy. Right. Yes, my affiliation with Aldershot Town Football Club. At least I think I mentioned it in the show, I can't remember now. But I lived in Aldershot for quite a few years, and Aldershot played their first match in the Football League. I'm not going to go into the history of it now, but they won their first match 1-0 against Accrington Stanley, which they played away, which I'm quite chuffed at. But on Wednesday they've got their first match in the Carling Cup, which is only available to those people that are in the leagues. The official leagues. So that'll be an interesting one. They're playing away to Coventry, so it'd be good to see if they get through on that one anyway. Right, now we're back indoors, and give me a chance to get my breath back. We're going to move on to a new song, which appeared on the Podsafe Music Network today, so it's brand new. And it's from a California lass called Kira Fontana, and the track is called Love. Thank you. That was Kira Fontana and Love. I just got myself a can of lager out of the fridge and opened it, and then I looked away and looked back, and there's all this foam coming out the top of it, so I've poured it straight into a glass without any... Child. Without any finesse whatsoever, so I've got a glass of beer that's like 7/8 head and 1/8 beer. Oh, thank you very much. It's been handed a Cadbury's mini roll. I forgot to put the... What? It's a fat-free and calorie-free one. I forgot to put links in the show notes last week regarding the thing I mentioned about podcatching software. For those of you... Yum, yum. For those of you who missed out on episode 21, I think it was, because I hadn't posted about it in my journal, I said last week about different podcatching software you can use instead. So I'll put those links at the bottom of this week's show notes instead. And I've put myself in my notes, link in show notes, in big bold letters. So when I write the show notes up this evening, I'll make sure they get put in there. I made a boo-boo earlier on today. I was making dinner, in fact it was lunch, which was a stir fry with noodles, and I apologise for those of you who already read this in Caroline's journal, but she said to me, can you spice it up a bit? And I thought, oh yeah, okay, I'll sort of give it a bit of heat and flavour. What she meant by spice it up was put some herbs and spices in to give it flavour, not spice it up as in curry or chilify it. But I did the latter, and I almost couldn't eat it. It was quite hot. So yes, I got suitably berated for that, particularly as Caroline didn't eat half of the food. So I take that as a hint that if she ever says spice it up again in the context of food, not to completely and totally empty every single chili and curry flavoured condiment we have into the dish. Yeah, I'll make a note of that one. This weekend I discovered a new online service called Identica, IDENTI.ca. And what it is, it's a replacement, no it's not, it's an alternative to Twitter. For those that don't know, Twitter is a microblogging service, kind of like a journal or a blog, but you only put in small quantities of text. And Twitter is limited at the present time to 140 characters per message. Now, there are lots of Twitter-style services out there, including the status updates facility in Facebook. But Facebook being quite kludgy, and Twitter being... Oh, that's better. Being quite... unstable at the moment, I notice a lot of people have been moving over to this Identica service. So I subscribed to it myself this weekend and had a bit of a play around with it, found some people on it that I already knew from Twitter. And, you know, pardon the pun, but it is identical to Twitter in its functionality and just generally the way it looks and works. The only downside is that there aren't that many tools around to allow you to post to both at the same time. At the moment, when I post to Twitter, Twitter has a Facebook application that takes all my Twitters and posts them to Facebook. I've also got an application called Loud Twitter, which I think is loudtwitter.com, which takes all my Twitters throughout the day and then posts them to my live journal in a single post. At midnight. So wherever I post something to Twitter, it goes to all the other services that I'm a part of. Now, what would be really good is to have a bit of software that will, or an online service that will allow me, when I post to Twitter, to also have that post appear in Identica. Now, there is a utility out there called Gwibber, G-W-I-B-B-E-R, which is in I think it's marketed as pre-alpha, so it's not even in testing mode yet. It's just a case of, you know, this is what it's supposed to do. If you want to give it a go, try it, but we offer no warranty if it blows your PC up or whatever. And it can post to Identica, Twitter, that one beginning with J that I've forgotten the name of, Facebook, Tumblr, all these. I think it's about 7 or 8 of these microblogging services that it'll paste to at the same time. But I've had a play with it, and I'm not 100% comfortable with it because it doesn't seem to work in the same way as Twitter, the Twitter application I use, which is called Twitter Fox. In fact, it's an extension to Firefox, and the equivalent, if the one existed, for Identica. If you combine the two of those together, Gwibber doesn't quite do it. Then Peter Nicolaides from the Fresh Ubuntu podcast mentioned about ping.fm, which is an online service that will post to pretty much everything you can think of: Twitter, Identica, Facebook, LiveJournal, Blogger, WordPress, Typepad, all of those things. And depending on what you put in and any flags you put in there at the same time, it'll post to whichever ones you tell it to. And again, it seems like a good product, but it just, I don't know, it just doesn't feel comfortable, if that makes sense. Anywho, I don't know if anybody else has had any experiences with Identica, Twitter, anything else, any utilities. You know, drop me a line, let me know. The second bit of software I've been playing around with this weekend is called Songbird. Now, those of you who use iTunes, you probably will never need Songbird. But for those of us who are the really awkward people that don't have Windows-based PCs, iTunes doesn't work. But there are many other media players for Linux that claim to do a similar kind of thing. But the only one that really comes close to it in terms of speed, functionality, and look is Songbird. Now, Songbird is based on the same technology as Thunderbird and Firefox, Mozilla Xul Runner, X-U-L Runner, which is the technology that sits behind it. And it looks really nice. It's all black rather than white. And it's got the same similar layout to iTunes, with the banner at the top and your playlist and things you can select from in at the top, and a list of services on the left hand side. Now, I've been using Rhythmbox up to this point, which is the default media player that comes with GNOME. But for some reason, it's been A, very slow, and B, if I change the volume or change the track, it refuses to respond for about 2 minutes after I press that button. So it's getting quite tedious. But for some reason, this mic seems really, really loud. Oh, that's better. Sorry if it's been distorting. I won't be able to check that until I listen to it at the end. But yeah, Songbird seems really nice. I mean, it does suffer from the same problems as Firefox and Thunderbird, in that it has an extremely heavy memory footprint. So that when you're running it, it does take up a hell of a lot of physical memory. Every so often I have to restart Firefox to reclaim some memory that it's used up. Something that was supposed to have been sold in Firefox 3, but it doesn't seem to have been. Anywho, I'm going to stop being geeky now. We're going to move on to some feedback. I've had three actually, but you'll see when you listen to it that it's actually only two messages in total. A couple of emails and a message on Twitter, which I will have a look for because I think I've lost it whilst I'm playing the first message. So yeah, here's the first message, and it's from Leonie.
Hey ho, me again.
So what was all that talk of it being a bad show this week? I don't think it was anywhere near as bad as you were advising or advertising. Okay, so you were still hyped up from the events of the day, but that's understandable. Really, you're too hard on yourself. Enjoyed the music this week, particularly the last track, which was very striking. Here's a suggestion. Why not do a show one week where you play your favourite three Podsafe tracks from previous shows? Also, looking forward to the live show, and I'm already there. Any night is good apart from Thursday, but then that's the night the Dumb Down Life boys do their live show, so you won't be doing that anyway. All for now, your regular correspondent, Leonie, News at 10, West Suffolk.
Thanks for that, Leonie. You've made two very good points in there, which I will come back to towards the end of the show. You know how it is when you do something and you look back on it and you think, God, that's crap. And then everybody says, well, actually, no, that was quite good, but I just couldn't see it at the time. I did play it back. Normally, I'd play the track, the whole episode back that same evening just to check out the content, make sure that there were no drops or breaks or big gaps in there. But you might have picked up on the fact that I left a lot of the stuff in there that I would normally have taken out. In fact, I think I remember saying, I'll cut that bit out, but I didn't. You got it exactly as it was recorded. But thanks on that one. Yeah, the music last week I was really chuffed with, because there is more and more phenomenally good stuff coming out of the Podsafe Music Network, which I've already shown by the two tracks I've played so far this evening. And what was the other? Oh yeah, the other points I'm going to cover later on. So yeah, thanks very much indeed for that, Leonie. And our next voicemails are from Mark from the Random Three.
Hi, Dave. This is Mark of the Random Three. Firstly, I thought I'd try out your voicemail number to see if it worked. I can't remember if I called you on it before. And I hope you can hear me. The quality is good enough because I'm trying a new Bluetooth headset thing. It's a good excuse to try it. Firstly, about show 22, great show. I didn't find it disorganised, as you might think. So it was just like all the other shows, very organised. secondly, was it just...
Okay, it helps me turn the mic on. I'm going to do Adam Curry on this one. I'm going to interrupt as he goes through. Again, as I said to Leonie, Mark, I didn't see it myself as we went through. I didn't think the show was particularly good last week, but yeah, you guys have proven me wrong, so yeah, thanks for that comment.
Interesting to hear about the concept of a dedication versus a baptism, but I was curious as to what your thoughts are. I've been playing a bit of devil's advocate. Do you think it I was going to say, do you think it's right, but do you think it's, I guess for lack of a better word, do you think it's okay to bring a child up, even in a religion, until they're an adult? Do you think it's perhaps fairer or not fairer for them to be left until they're an adult in no particular religion? Curious to your thoughts on that.
That's a very good question, in fact, Mark. From mine and Caroline's point of view, we have our beliefs. We don't go around chucking them on other people. Which is why I don't normally... I don't think I've ever mentioned on this show before about our beliefs. Do I think it's right? I think it's right to raise your children the right way. Now, everybody's view of what is the right way is going to be different. It's going to be completely subjective. Now, regardless of whether it's based on religion... which is another interesting point, because I don't consider as what we do as a religion. I think it more as a faith, a way of life. And I believe that the way of life that we're living is something that we would be proud to put upon our children. And I don't think that they would resent us for trying to, at least attempting to bring them up in this way of life. I don't really want to go into this too much, because this isn't what this show's about, but I very much take your point, and I would very much like to welcome everybody else into this conversation as to what thoughts they have on it.
The third thing, I think the third thing, you're talking about commercial software versus open source software. I think you're asking for views of whether people preferred any particular. I have to say, typically I go the commercial software route. I've not dabbled in Linux very much. Because I guess with Linux you need a bit of a, you need a fair bit of time to figure it out and get it all working and understand it. And it's a bit of a project, perhaps more so than something you can just install and run.
That is true, actually. A lot of people that have, is the perception of it as well. A lot of people have said that, I don't want to go into Linux because you've got to be an expert to use it. You can't just use it out of the box. More and more, as Linux advances and matures, you are able to use it without knowledge, or without any specific knowledge. If you're familiar with Windows, then your use of Linux, or at least the window managers that sit on top of Linux and the desktop environments, are similar enough to Windows to be able to pick up to apply the knowledge you already have into a Linux system. But yeah, sorry about that.
I play a lot of games, so I certainly have done in the past, but Windows has been a necessity to be able to play those. I mean, I've worked for a large commercial software company, and there are...
Whoop, and that's where the first part of the voicemail ended. I've never mentioned it, but the system I use for the webmail, for the voicemail, which is Gizmo Project, has a limit of 2 minutes on the calls, and that one went to 2 minutes and 10 seconds. So they must have given him a little bit of extra time, and then got bored. So his message does continue here.
Okay, so I spoke so much, I actually filled up the text box. So I've got to get a move on this time. Yeah, I was talking about working for a large commercial software company, and, you know, there are pros and cons to open source, there are pros and cons to commercial. You know, sometimes you're guaranteed to get a bug fix, you're guaranteed to get something that's been fully tested and that you can rely on. But other times, you know, I've seen it in the commercial environment where if there are not the right financial motivations, the fixes are not done. And I guess likewise, in an open source environment, you know, you're not guaranteed to get a fix. Maybe it's more likely. But, sorry, I'm just driving. But at the same time...
glad you said you were hands-free, Mark.
You know, is the quality of the software perhaps the same? Is it as easy to use? You know, there's always going to be pros and cons to both, which is, I guess, why neither one has taken off and has a huge market share. Although, maybe, I don't know, does Windows have a huge market share? That's something that tends to get ignored quite a lot. The fourth issue was...
Windows has a phenomenal market share within the... certainly within the commercial industries, but also within the home industry, the home environments as well. But yeah, points well taken on the use of open source versus commercial software. Something I could probably talk for ages on, but I won't, because I think we're already up to 34 minutes, and I've still got another song and some more feedback to go through yet. So I will stop prevaricating.
Your live show, and I'd say yeah, do it. Just make sure. Really, sometimes the problem I have with a dumbed down life is just getting as earlier warning as possible that the show's going to be done, so kind of a couple of days of countdown messages don't miss. And for me, anything after 10 is probably going to be too late, so after 9, he says from a purely selfish point of view. Anyway, great show, and no doubt speak to you soon. Bye.
Thanks very much, Mark. The moment you say great show, I started to cringe. Some people know why. It's kind of an inside joke, but... if you listen to Adam Curry's Daily Source Code, you will know exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah, going on from the live comment, the live show comment, as I said earlier on, that is something I'll be covering very shortly. Moving on, yep, had a couple of emails. Let me see if I can get them up. Don't know why these aren't already had those. Right, I've had two emails, other than the ones you've already heard. The first one was from Lisa Redford. I played her song last week. Now, as thick as I am, I've forgotten completely which one it was I played, but I know it was definitely the song I played last week. She said, "Hi, just wanted to say thanks very much for playing one of my songs. It's off my brand new album, so you're probably the first to play it. Thanks again, appreciate the support, Lisa Redford." Yeah, when I went to log it to say that I'd played it, I think I was the only person on there that had done, so I'm actually quite honoured to have been the first person on the Podsafe Music Network to have played that track. But it was a damn good track, and I did reply and tell her so. So thank you very much for that, Lisa. The second email was from Barry Farrell, who is from The Beggar's Lake. I played their track, The Confession, at the end of last week's show. And he says, "Hi, just a quick note to thank you for using our track, The Confession, on your latest podcast. All the best, Barry." So, yep, thanks for that also. I've made a big thing over the last few weeks about how groups are not acknowledging the plays that people make on their shows. But now I seem to notice that they are. I don't know whether this is just a minor blip, if you like, that it's actually not a regular thing. I think I might just have been lucky. And the last bit of feedback I had was yet again from the friend of the show, Mark Marshall, who says, amongst other things, and I'll go on to that in a second, "P.S. I love the podcast." And I'll go on to the rest of that message in a minute when I go through some more relevant stuff. So thank you everybody for your feedback this week. It does spur me on, and it's just wonderful to know that the people are listening to the show, acknowledging the songs that I'm playing. It's great. I love it. I really do. Okay, this is episode 23. Episode 24 next week will be a live show. Focals, this is your 5-day warning. Live show will be broadcast between 9 and 10 p.m. on Friday the 15th. This is this Friday coming. I was awaiting confirmation whether I could use the Dumb Down Live server, even, and I have been told that I can. I've put the address of the chat room in the show notes, which you can use on the day. Incidentally, if you want to try also on the Thursday at 9 o'clock, the Dumb Down Life guys might actually be doing a live broadcast themselves. But I don't know whether that's actually going to happen or not. It didn't this week. So, yeah, definitely Friday the 15th of August from 9 p.m. All right, Bugcast episode 24 live show. Episode 25 the following week. It will be our silver episode, hence the 25. And this is where I take on Leonie's suggestion. And it will be a show dedicated to the best music that we've played on the Bugcast thus far. So this is your warning now. If you have any recommendations or any preferences of songs that I've already played on the show that you want played again, drop me a note and let me know. All right, I've already got an idea of probably 3, maybe 4 songs. I'll probably limit it to no more than, oh, I don't know, let me think, 5 minutes, probably no more than 6 or 7 songs. As I say, it'll just be a song show. There'll be no bloggy type blurb within this show. So yeah, if you've got a song, a favourite song that you've heard on the Bugcast in the last, well, by then it would have been the last 24 episodes, then drop me a note. I'll give the details at the end of the show and let me know which ones you want me to play. Which then brings us on to our final song. The final song is by Mark Marshall. He has earned the accolade of being a friend of the show for very good reason. He's been a regular contributor to feedback. He does listen to the show on a semi-regular basis. I say semi-regular because sometimes he misses and then catches up, which is absolutely fine. Now, one thing I didn't mention, or don't think I've mentioned yet, is he has released an album. The album's called New Eye. If you go to markmarshall.com/get.html, I think it is, and I'll put that in the show notes as well. I'll put a little note in there, actually. link in show notes, where you can also preview all of the songs that appear on the album. Now, I dropped him a direct message on Twitter and said, look, I want to buy your album. Will you ship to the UK? And he said, yep, just send me $15 and I'll get it sent over to you. So he's going to do that for me. He said he's going to send it by the middle of this week coming, which I'm really looking forward to, because from the songs that I've heard on there so far, I think I've heard about 4 or 5. Then the whole album's just going to be awesome. So I'm really looking forward to that. So thanks very much, Mark, for agreeing to send that over to me. If you do want to buy the album yourself, which of course I would highly recommend, then if you go over to markmarshall.com, to whatever is the link in the show notes, I might have got that wrong when I said it a minute ago, then you can either order a CD copy, for which you'll then need to get in contact with Mark and find out what the shipping costs are going to be, etc. Or you can order it as a download from a number of recognised download services. So, without any further waffle, this is Mark Marshall, and the song is called Misdirected.
She's misdirected. She's got pretty pictures of what the world's supposed to be. She's disconnected. She sings those pretty songs of love.
I deliberately didn't listen to that song so I could hear it for the first time as you guys did. And wow, that Mark, you really do have a fantastic talent there, mate. And I really hope you end up going mainstream, because you deserve the recognition. So all the very best on this, mate. Go out and buy his album, folks. It's gonna be full of gems like that. Right. Okie dokie. All of the songs this week have been taken from the PodSafe Music Network, which you can reach at music.podshow.com. If you want to get in touch with the show to give feedback, introductions, by the way, I need introductions from next week for episode 24 onwards. If somebody would like to do a special 25th anniversary, no, not anniversary, 25th episode introduction, let me know as soon as you can, because then I can then let people know next week if I've already got one, so I don't have to have to make a horrible choice between taking someone's intro and not someone else's. So if you want to get in touch with the show, you can do so in the following methods. You can phone through on 020 80 99 1550, as Mark did. You can drop an email, like Leonie did, to bugcast@thelovebug.org. You can go straight to the website itself, where you've got all the contact information, including the show notes for this week and all previous episodes, and that is at bugcast.thelovebug.org. Why do I have such a problem saying those three words? bugcast@thelovebug.org. And you can also follow me on Twitter. My username is thelovebug, and you can also follow me on Identica, and surprisingly, my username is also thelovebug. I'll put both of those also in the show notes. They'll be in there regularly from now on. I think, my friends, that is it. Shall I be geeky again? Yeah, go on. I forgot to mention, I'm still using the XO, which is the one laptop per child laptop that I ordered from the US last year. I'm still using that to help me with the shows. And I took it out with me earlier on when I was in the wind. I just thought I'd mention that it has a power save mode where if you turn the backlight off completely, it goes from a full colour screen into a monochrome screen, which, open quotes, allegedly, close quotes, can be read fully and easily in daylight. Now, the sun wasn't to be seen. It was quite cloudy, a little bit of blue sky, not a lot. And with the backlight off and in this power save mode, I could see the screen absolutely perfectly clear. In fact, I could see that monochrome screen with no backlight better than I could my laptop, which had the backlight on it in colour. So, that go figures. All that remains then is for me to thank you very much for joining me yet again. I think I've just broken the record for longest show. We're creeping up towards 50 minutes. Hopefully by the end of this it won't be, but we'll see. Take care all, have a good week, and if all goes well, and with the following wind, I will see you for the live show next week, 9 o'clock, Friday the 15th. Take care.